It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Winter bike riding. It requires us to do more preparation, the gear, the clothing, the riding strategies. So let's discuss all of it. Call in with questions on how to keep rolling on your bike in cold, wet weather. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Laura Rubish of Viroqua is an endurance athlete, participates in winter biking events, and is a fat biking enthusiast. Laura, welcome to the Ideas Network.
I'm so glad to be here.
Good morning. We also have Robbie Weber, founding board member of the advocacy organization Madison Bikes, has a seat on the City of Madison Transportation Commission, and is a winter bike commuter for more than 20 years. Robbie, welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, this is going to be fun. Robbie, let's start with you. You know, factoring in the wind chill, the snow, the ice, all make winter biking a bit challenging. So what motivates you to bike through the winter?
Well, I live close to downtown and close to the UW campus. And as I told several people, I am just too cheap to pay for parking, and I bike because it's easier than waiting for the bus, or I'm too lazy to walk. So it's really just a way to get around, and it's pretty easy. I mean, we all live in Wisconsin. We have the clothes to be outside. So instead of scraping the windshield on the car, I just get on my bike.
How, though, do you get over that mental block, I might call it, that, you know, you can't bike in the snow or with icy patches present? I mean, I hear from my family members who look outside in the evening and say, you know, Mom, you can't bike in that tomorrow. And I'm like, well, yes, I can. But how do you, and it's hard even sometimes for me to say that, but how do you get through the mental challenge of that?
Well, again, you know, we don't go from August heat to January cold. We have that progression where we just keep going. You just put on a few more clothes, you add a scarf, you put on a hat or some gloves. And we all know that you just get used to the cold. We're not coming from Florida and being shocked by the winter. And, you know, there's strategies for each type of weather, each type of conditions. And I also just want to emphasize to people, for commuting, you don't have to bike every day. If you don't want to bike when it's 20 below zero or the wind chill, or you've just had fresh snow, then you can use another method of transportation. But today, there's no ice on the ground. It hasn't snowed recently, at least in southern Wisconsin. We had a little bit of snow, but it's all cleared. They plow the paths here, they plow the streets, and the streets are clear. So it's just damp and cold. And it would be the same if I was waiting around waiting for the bus.
Laura, talking about this being a state of mind, I mean, you've completed winter biking events 100 miles and longer. What? How do you prepare for something like that and put your mind in the right place so you can enjoy these adventures?
Well, I think, you know, what Robbie said is a really excellent point. It doesn't happen overnight in Wisconsin that, you know, we go from a beautiful summer day to, oh my gosh, it's snowing and, you know, there's snow everywhere and it's cold. So you do get a transition. Time on the bike and familiarizing yourself with your gear and your clothes and what works for you just puts you in the state of mind where you feel very confident about it. And, you know, that's the biggest part, the mindset going into it, that, you know, you're ready, you're prepared. I think that in this part of the country where winter is long and cold and difficult and daylight is scarce, you really have to have some big things on your calendar to look forward to and to plan for and to train for. So having things like that, you know, to focus on really helps you get through winter.
Oh, I love that, because you're always then looking forward to that next thing. But I also
Absolutely. I also
hear from you, Laura, that you really need to use all your senses and be present when you're on the bike, you know, more so than perhaps in the winter because of the changing conditions.
Absolutely. Winter is such a dynamic thing. You don't know what you're going to get from one day to the next. As you mentioned, you know, you have all this gear and And what works one day might not work the next day. So you really do need to be very aware of, you know, what the day and the conditions and the weather and what's on the way. So yeah, you definitely need to be paying attention to that and be ready for anything.
We're talking about winter biking with adventure and Viroqua resident Laura Rubish, and we have Madison Bikes board member Robbie Weber. You can join in along the way at 800-642-1234. Your approach to winter biking, whether you've tried it or not, what's holding you back? Robbie, you know, what is your must-have gear to stay warm biking this time of year?
Well, just like any kind of outdoor activity in Wisconsin, you want to have layers, because when you're on a bike, you're going to be active, you're going to be moving, and you're going to warm up. So just like if you were cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or going for a hike, you're going to want to be able to unzip and things like that. So I have a jacket that allows me to unzip under my armpits and along my sides to let some air in. I've got, you know, I can unzip the jacket. It's just a shell instead of a big heavy parka. I have a smart wool neck buff or gaiter, which I can pull up over my nose and mouth so that I don't breathe cold air, but I can pull it down if I get too hot. And layers. Just like everything else in Wisconsin, layers are the key. I put on some thin long underwear under my pants. I have different kinds of pants depending on the weather.
How do you keep
Again,
your feet warm?
Well, smart wool socks
okay.
and good boots.
Mm-hmm.
Smart wool or merino wool. Smart wool is a brand, but it's a merino wool that doesn't itch. And you can wear it several days. You can wash it. This is my go-to in the winter, and it's really my go-to for all three seasons because it's comfortable, it keeps your feet warm even if it gets wet, and it's expensive, but it's worth it, and I use it for hiking, and I use it pretty much any time that I'm not wearing sandals for my feet. So it's really, we all live in Wisconsin, I presume, unless somebody's listening from California, and we have gear for being outside. You don't necessarily need special gear for commuting. For long distance biking, it's going to be different, but for commuting, you're going to have clothes in your closet that you can use.
Mm-hmm. Laura, how about you? What do you wear to prevent frostbite on those long winter cycling events? Because I would imagine that's really tricky, so you don't have to keep stopping.
My mantra with winter biking is keeping your hands and feet warm. That's the most important thing. Anything that's a point of contact with the bike, you want to be really, really sure that it's going to be warm and protected. So I'm really careful with footwear. I have winter biking boots. You wouldn't necessarily need to have those. But you know, that's a nice thing if you can get those. And I sized up a whole size, so I have a lot of room in there, because having the room, that really gives you the ability to stay warm because you have a lot of air in there. It's kind of like the same theory as why down is so amazingly warm. There's a company based in Wisconsin that I love called Follow Hollow Alpaca. Kind of like exactly what Robbie was saying with the merino. It's the same principle, but they make really wonderful socks. So I'll wear one or two pairs of those with my great big boots to keep my feet warm. And those are fantastic. If it's really cold, I use the chemical warmers. I'll put one over my toes in between the sock layers. And then I also tuck one on the front of my ankle over my socks. So it's not right on your skin, but it's warming the blood that's flowing into your feet. So that keeps your feet really warm long-term.
How long do those last?
They last a long time, maybe 8 hours or something.
Wow.
Especially when they're kind of enclosed like that and they're not as exposed to the air. I think they last even longer. You can even get the full shoe size ones that fit like an insole. And that's a great option too, if it's really cold. My most important gear item is they make these things called pogies. that fit over your handlebars and they protect your hands.
those over mitts. So you really like, I've been on kind of on the fence with those because, I mean, I actually had asked Santa for them, but then I was like, if I have to keep taking them on and off once I get to some place, I wonder about the wear and tear.
They're not that bad to take on and off once you get the hang of it. You just pop the little bar ends out and take them off. So they're really not that bad to deal with. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't worry about that.
But they look so cozy.
They're so cozy. They're wonderful. I leave them on most of the winter. I'm going to take them off this weekend, you know, because I'm going to be theoretically racing / riding, you know, and want to probably not need those bad. But they're wonderful because it's not something that you have to even think about. They're already on there. If it's not that cold, if it's 25 degrees, you might find that you don't even need gloves at all. Mm. So you can just ride your bike, which is always my goal, to make it as simple as possible. So you can just hop on and ride your bike. The other really important thing with long rides, keeping your hands warm, minimizing the cold from the points of contact, is carbon handlebars don't transmit cold the way that an alloy like aluminum or something is going to. So if that's something that you can do, they're pretty inexpensive. Now you can pick up a set. There's a company called Ren Sports that makes really amazing handlebars that are pretty inexpensive, carbon bars. So those will really help keep your hands warm too, because you're not getting that cold
transfer.
Whipped right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Laura Rubish and Robbie Weber with us, avid winter cyclists in Wisconsin, fielding all your questions with tips and tricks about biking in the winter. Join in with your questions, your own ideas, or maybe something that is holding you back from cycling in the snow and wet roads. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn how to head out the door, get on a bike in the winter with biking strategies, helpful gear, and maintenance. Tapping into a pair of cyclists who've been biking in the winter for years now. Call into their questions along the way, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Madison Bikes board member Robbie Weber, and winter bike adventurer Laura Rubish from Broqua. They're our guides. Let's bring on a call now. Steve in Green Bay has some tips to share. Steve, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been riding, winter riding for about 30 years now. I just recently bought a specialized fat tire bike about 7 years ago, but I go out almost every day, weather permitting. You know, I found, and I don't know if your guests will agree, but, you know, there are some limitations, especially if there's fresh snow, and, you know, the bikes do, fat tire bikes have a lot more resistance on the tire, and it's always helpful to be able to see what you're riding on.
Sure. What is your best tip to share?
Well, I think my best tip is ride with the wind.
Oh, Steve, thanks for calling in. Laura, anything you can bring up about fat tire biking?
Well, that's a good point. There is a lot more rolling resistance with those great big fat tires. Something you can do to minimize that a bit is there's something called tubeless tires, where they get rid of the tube entirely and fill your tire with a sealant. And that is going to give you the ability to run a much lower tire pressure. That's going to increase your traction and stability and cornering ability. And it's going to cut down on that rolling resistance quite a bit. So that's something to consider. That would be a great, great idea for winter biking. If it's really, really deep snow, obviously, if it's fresh snow, you know, nobody can ride in that. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be much fun. So, you know, there are going to be situations where you probably are, you know, not going to be able to get out. If you're riding groomed mountain bike trails, you really need to pay attention to, you know, when it was groomed, the the groomers that are doing the grooming are putting a ton of volunteer time and work and energy into that. So you want to be really careful to not do any damage to it. So if it's too soft, you really have to be aware of that. So, you know, just take stock of the current situation and conditions before you head out and be prepared for it.
Hmm. Greg in Madison is here. Greg, hi. Hi, Greg. Can you hear us? There you are, Greg. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to let Robbie know that she's motivated me to ride my bike in the winter because she said that she was cheap and lazy. And I'm like, wait a second, I'm cheap and lazy. But the truth of it is she's not cheap or lazy. She probably, you know, if you're going to commit that you can't be lazy and ride your bike to work and commute that way. And you can't be cheap if you're spending, you know, for the fat tires and your gear and so forth. So anyways, I just was trying to be a little silly, but yeah, it sounds like fun and all.
Greg, where do you envision yourself riding in the winter? Would this be more like a commute for you or for recreation?
Yeah.
What's the plan here?
Well, the problem is I work in Madison, live in Oregon, so my quick vision would be to put the bike on and get to a trail. I mean, I know I bike in the summer, so I know where to go, but I need to get just a little closer. I don't want to deal with it, you know. In my case, like the fish hatchery or the highways or the, you know what I mean? I need to get a little closer and like they have both have said, the trails should be groomed. I don't have to worry too much about traffic. I can get on a trail, get close enough to my office and then take the city streets. But I mean, I'd have to, I don't have much gear, but I certainly have a bike and I have, you know, I have the clothing that would work, but I was.
Well, Robbie, yeah, I think Greg's almost there.
I think so too. And I, you know, Laura's been talking a lot about specialized gear and people think that they need specialized gear, but I like to emphasize, yes, of course you can spend money on gear. You can buy a fat bike, you can get studded tires. That's another option, especially for commuting. If there's going to be ice, studded tires are going to be very helpful, but you don't necessarily need a lot of specialized gear. You just need to look at the clothes that you already have and consider what might make the bike easier for commuting, not for long rides out in the country where you're not going to be on plowed roads. But I want to make it easy for people to try it out. And Madison is very good at plowing their trails. So people know that they can get on their bike. They don't necessarily need any specialized gear and they can just ride in to the city.
It's predictable.
Yeah. Now having fenders, knowing that your bike is going to get gritty and may have salt. So you may need to either get a junky bike or be prepared to wipe it down and put more oil on the chain more frequently. But you don't have to spend a lot of money. And when I say I'm cheap, it's about parking. And I've been riding the same bike for over 10 years in the winter. And I just keep using it and using it and using it. And then when it falls apart, I get a new bike. And that's still cheaper than maintaining the car or paying for parking. And it's often faster. In Madison, it's often faster to bike than it is to look for a parking space or even walk from the parking lot. So that's why I want people to know that it's not necessarily difficult on a day when it's just damp and cold. It's not necessarily difficult to bike.
Do you change out and use a different bike in the summer?
Well, I just got a new bike for the summer. My commuter bike, I decided, you know, I've been using the same one for so long. I have multiple bikes.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Like any big bike geek, I have multiple bikes. I have a
just
nice
like,
road
just
bike.
Just like I have multiple jackets. I have to.
Yes, exactly. We have different shoes. We have different bikes. We have different jackets. You know, I don't spend a lot of money on other things, but outdoor gear. But yes, I have a road bike. I have my old commuter bike, which is now my winter bike.
Sure.
And I have a new commuter bike. And I do have other ones, but we won't even go into those.
We have Madison Bikes board member Robbie Weber and winter biking adventurer Laura Rubish from Viroqua helping us out with cycling in the winter months. Join in with what you wonder about tips, gear suggestions to help you get started, your stories, or what you've encountered as a winter bike commuter, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, call in with winter biking stories, your tips, especially if you ride in cold months, 800-642-1234. We have Laura Rubish is an endurance athlete and longtime cyclist in Viroqua. Robbie Weber is here with Madison Bikes and a winter bike commuter for decades. We heard from, Jessica called from Eau Claire wanting to know more about bike chains. Jessica just chews through those bike chains constantly and is wondering, what is the proper care and replacement for bike chains? Laura, you first.
I think that's a really, really important thing to stay on top of in the winter. I actually make bike maintenance a part of pretty much every single ride in the winter. I kind of have a little mental checklist that I go through where I check my tire pressure before I leave, make adjustments as needed based on conditions. After the ride is over, I take the time to clean the bike. If you're commuting, obviously, I think that's probably going to be even more important because you're going to be exposed to things like salt that you aren't necessarily going to be on trails. But you're still going to have a very wet drivetrain and all the moving parts and everything. So take the time to clean it really carefully, dry it. You can use some degreaser, water displacing spray type products that they make specifically for bikes. Muck Off is a really good one. You can get that at your local bike shop, I'm sure. So get everything really clean, get it dry, and lube the chain again. With winter biking, when it's wet, if it gets cruddy in there, if you get any mud or dirt or anything, you're actually going to really cause everything to break down much more quickly. So you want to make sure that you level the playing field as much as you can with the winter cycling and keep it clean. And keep an eye on your chain because they do wear out fairly often, probably more often in the winter. So there's tools that you can get to measure how much it's stretched, the wear of it. It's also something your bike shop could do for you really, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the time to spend some time with, getting to know the people at your local bike shop, they're going to take good care of you with that too. It's a really good point that caller brought up. You really have to be way more on top of that in the winter than you do in the summer.
And Robbie, I mean, this is where I use the lazy cart. I mean, I had to get a bike chain last week and it just makes a world of difference. But I know it's just going to be, just some months where it'll wear out again. What are your tips there?
I'm on the lazy side. And because I use my bike pretty much every day and I do bike in gritty, salty conditions, the roads in Wisconsin, we all know, have got grit and salt on them. I just consider the chain something I'm going to have to replace.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it well oiled. I don't clean my bike every day because I just don't have time and I'm not going to get it wet and then let it freeze. That's something I think a lot of people don't realize or they don't think about. If you bring your bike into a warm condition, warm, moist condition, like your house, just like your glasses, I wear glasses, it's going to condensed. You're going to get condensation. And then when you take it back outside, it's going to freeze again. So I just keep it cold. I just leave it outside in the cold conditions. I mean, I leave it in the shed, but it's unheated. And then it's just cold and I just lube it. I wipe it off, but I just do it when I get a chance. And I just consider my chain something I'm going to have to replace, just like oil in your car or gas or anything else. And it's a lot cheaper than replacing the parts in your car. And again, I ride, because I'm riding short distances, I ride a bike that I know I'm going to have to, you know, a lot of people get a junker bike for winter commuting and just realize that it's going to get chewed up and then take their nice bike out in the summer. And again, you know, it's sort of, I compare it to what would I pay for gas and parking and car maintenance. And this is still easier. But, and I'm getting exercise. You know, you think about your gym membership. You know, you're out there, you're getting some exercise, you're happier in those gray days when you get some exercise.
But, you know, when do you know it's time for that tune-up? Because, I mean, my philosophy is I try to, you know, address it during the change of seasons, where I, you know, really focus on the tune-up. And I like to get also tune-ups when there is a big blizzard bearing down, because I know I won't be riding, so I can let my bike stay in the shop. When do you know it's right time for a tune-up?
Well, obviously, if your gear starts slipping, that's a big sign that you've gone too far.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's knowing a little bit about how long you can go. There are some signs that you need to replace your chain. Laura talked about the stretching of the chain, and that's something that is, after a while, you sort of get a feel for. And there's a very inexpensive tool that will tell you when your chain has stretched.
Oh.
Just ask your local bike shop. It basically looks like a little ruler, and it's not expensive. And then it'll tell you when it's time to replace your chain. But, you know, you can also do it just like you do with an oil change. You can say, well, I ride this many miles in these kind of conditions, and I know I have to do it 2-4 times a year, whatever it may be. And it's very inexpensive. You can do it yourself, or you can just take it to the bike shop and throw some money at your local business, which is good, too. Or you get a friend to do it.
We're talking about winter biking with tips and advice here, adventure and Viroqua resident Laura Rubish and Madison Bikes board member Robbie Weber with us. You can join in 800-642-1234. Brian in Minocqua is here. Brian, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So I wanted to, first off, thank you. I can't remember which one of your guests mentioned all the work that Fat Tire Trail Groomers put in to keep the trails in great condition for winter biking. So thank you very much for that. It really is a whole ton of work. And those guys do hundreds and thousands of hours every year to keep trail systems ready for fat bikers. So I'm really grateful for that shout out. But I wanted to mention the something about fat biking is that fat biking has kind of spawned this little mini industry of these really fun events that you can find all over the state. And I think it's a great way for people to get out and kind of get an idea of what fat biking is like. And for instance, up here in the Lakeland area, Minocqua, we have one coming up tomorrow, actually. We do one around Christmas. It's like a public free demo. And then we have tomorrow's a race. And then there's another fat bike race coming up in February, and other clubs do the same stuff. So if anybody's like interested in that aspect of the sport, like what it's like to ride those bikes, there's all sorts of events that they can get out and go try it out. And it's usually fun. These clubs are usually consisting of great people looking to have a good time and just wanting to get other people into the sport.
Find a community there. Brian, thank you so much. Laura, can you speak to that? You know, Brian giving you a shout out on saying how hard it is to keep up these trails, but also what are some of these kind of like gateway events, bike events that you really appreciate?
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a fun community of fat bikers. There's something that's so inherently silly about a fat bike. The proportions are so silly. They're big, they're oversized. And it's just fun. You don't go very fast. And it, like he was saying, it's kind of spawned this amazing community. And there's, your bike shop is probably doing, you know, a local ride maybe every week or whenever conditions are good. There's a lot of race series that are, you know, kind of irreverent and funny. There's the Snow Crown series, and they all have really fun names like Fat Camp and Fatty Shack is at a golf course. There's the Huge Ass series that Wheel and Sprocket puts on, which is amazing. They had over 300 people come and race fat bikes a couple of weeks ago at the Trek headquarters. So that is, you know, it's a really fun way to get involved in it. Like he mentioned, there's a lot of, you know, shops that are doing demos so you can come and try them. Or they have, you know, inexpensive rentals so you can get out and try it. That's how I got into fat biking the first time. I didn't think I'd like it at all. And I rented a bike for a weekend and completely fell in love with it. So yeah, there's so many ways that you can get involved in that community. Your local bike shop is going to be a great resource. There's a lot of online community building things that you can be a part of around those race series. So definitely have the conversations with your bike shop, and they can definitely, you know, it's what they love too. So they can definitely get you keyed into that quickly.
And I believe that the state park trail system has some opportunities to rent and try them as well. Do you know anything about that? Is that true?
Yeah, I've seen.
I think I've seen that as well. That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have any real specific information that I could share. But yeah, there definitely is some opportunity like that out there.
Let's go to Jack in Madison. Jack, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was going to say, I took my fat bike, or I'm sorry, I actually don't have a fat bike. I have a dual sport, a Gary Fisher, that I like to put finished snow tires on in the winter. And so it was really nice being able to take that for spin yesterday, especially in winter conditions that aren't necessarily like a heavy snow, but like kind of a wet mix of ice and slush. And so I think we can agree there's something to be said for having good gear. And I guess for people who are kind of new to winter biking, I guess, what are some of the first things they can do when it comes to gearing up and making sure they have a good pair of snow tires for their bikes? Or
Can I ask you what snow tires from Finland are like? You did say Finnish snow tires, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
So it's a brand called Suomi, I think, you know, which I think is Finnish for Finland. And, you know, since that's also a very cold country and very fit, you know, people tend to put tires like, imagine it's kind of a cross between, I guess, regular road tires, but then also mountain bike tires with the addition of spikes that are used to grip these, you know, slicker surfaces or these more snow trodden surfaces. And so it's a great way to be able to roll over the roads and not be as likely to slip up. And so I've found that's worked pretty well for me when I take my bike out during the winter.
All right, Jack, thank you so much. Robbie, can you chime in at all on tires?
Yes. Studded tires, when we start discussing winter biking, studded tires always come up. Do you need studded tires? I mean, it depends on the conditions, just like depends on what shoes you're going to wear. Fat bike tires are wonderful for soft conditions or snow or packed snow. Studded tires are absolutely essential for ice. If you are going to be riding on conditions where it might, like out on the lake, if you're going to commute and you might encounter some icy roads, for instance, local roads often don't get plowed well, or the snow builds up and it becomes ice. We all know that's what happens. The main roads might be clear, your local side roads might not. And unfortunately, of course, we often are commuting on side roads to avoid the traffic. studded tires will keep you from falling most of the time. Yeah. I mean,
they might make you feel a little more confident out there.
Yes. I had a friend who said the studded tires worked great, but when I put my foot down, my foot wasn't studded and I slipped when I put my foot down. Also, studded tires, just like a fat bike tire or any kind of a wider tire, is going to have more rolling resistance. So you're going to feel it's a little bit more of a drag, but it's still easier than, as I always say, it's easier than walking.
I mean, I have a pair of studded in, not on right now, but in the garage. Mm-hmm. Do I hurt the studded tires at all if I keep riding them when the surface is dry?
That's yes, sort of.
Okay.
If you get good studded tires, they will last a long time. They will last a long time, even if you ride on dry pavement.
Okay.
Dry pavement actually is one of the conditions where you can actually slip with studded tires because you're riding on metal spikes instead of grippy, you know, grippy tire. So you have to be careful when you're cornering, when you're, you know, riding fast and making any kind of a change in position when you're on studded tires on dry pavement.
Going to help you go fast at all.
No, you're not. They're not going to go fast at all. But when you take those corners,
when you're cornering,
you have to be careful. When you're in Madison, you will hear the studded tires because they make a lot of noise.
Yes, they do.
So you know that people are using them. But a lot of people sometimes, because studded tires can be a little expensive, a lot of people put their studded tire only on the front because if your front wheel slips, you're going to go down. If your rear wheel slips, you can put your foot down and catch yourself. So if you only have one, put it on the front.
Robbie Weber, founding board member for the organization Madison Bikes, longtime winter bike rider. Laura Rubish here, veteran of winter biking events, living in Viroqua. Still time to hear what's coming up for you about winter cycling, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn how to bike in the winter with a pair of avid riders. Laura Rubish is here, and Robbie Weber taking on all your questions at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I want to talk a little bit about the cold. Laura, is there a temperature or, you know, how cold is it too cold to ride? I remember back in the polar vortex, it was 2019, I guess, but I looked out the window and I saw a cyclist coming down the street at night. And I was like, no. Is there a threshold?
You know, yes and no. I rode the Tascovia Ultra last year, and the real temp was around negative 20 for a good portion of it with wind chills. And it was fine. I was prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a winter ultra that starts in International Falls, Minnesota on the border. And that is often one of those places where you hear statistics like it's colder than Mars, or it's the coldest place on the planet or something. And, you know, you've got a bunch of hardy people that show up to ride their bikes 135 miles in that. You know, you've got to be really careful because that is truly kind of a life and death situation at that point. So you really truly need to be prepared and to have your gear tested and be ready for it. The reality is that if you make a mistake, there's consequences.
Sure.
So, put the time into learning how to be ready for it and you'll be absolutely fine. A few weeks ago, it was negative 30 in Viroqua with a wind chill, and I rode my bike in that. It's one of those things where, again, it's just kind of like, how far can we take this?
I wonder, were you wearing those Follow Hollow alpaca performance socks?
I had two pairs of those on. I had two layers of wool. I had an outer shell on top of that. So yeah, I had a lot of layers of wool. I had my face completely protected. You know, it's important to protect your eyes. Your eyes can freeze shut in those kind of conditions really quickly, which probably sounds crazy to people to hear that. They make like a face mask with a built-in, like a ventilator that warms the air up going into your lungs. And that's something that a lot of people doing winter ultras will use, or, you know, things like the Iditarod bike ultra up in Alaska. So, you know, having some gear like that, it doesn't have to be crazy expensive. You know, you can borrow what you don't have in a lot of cases.
So you can get out there. Robbie, I want to turn to bike paths because, you know, you are really, I mean, you're happy with how Madison, you know, plows its bike paths and that there are clear bike lanes. So what should winter bikers do if they're in areas around the state without consistently clear pathways?
Right. So you have a couple of options. One is to get your bike ready to ride on snow or ice. If you want to continue to commute and you don't have a clear path, that's a fat bike or studded tires and just power through. That's one option. Another option is to just ride on the roads that are cleared. Now, that takes a little bit more confidence riding in traffic, but it is legal. You do not have to ride somewhere where it is not safe. You can ride in the lane with traffic if the bike lane is not plowed. I used to do that before Madison cleared, you know, was good about clearing their paths and lanes. My commute was not on a path and I just basically rode in the middle of the road. Now, again, that takes a little bit more confidence. But the third thing that people should probably do is tell their local authorities that this is important to them.
I was going
to
say, how do you engage with government on bike commuting regardless of where you live?
Yeah, I mean, we all have elected officials, whether it's your village board, your city council, your mayor, your village administrator, whatever it may be, and say, this is how I get to work and this is important to me, and please continue to clear the lanes. And organize. I mean, this is where Madison Bikes really has shined, is organizing and making sure that people know that biking is important as a transportation option for people. And this is how people get to work. And the city needs to make sure that the bike facilities are just as safe as the driving facilities and walking facilities that we have.
Thank you both for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us on. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this, Kate.
All right. Laura Rubish there, endurance athlete and fat biking enthusiast in Viroqua. Robbie Weber with us, founding board member for the advocacy group Madison Bikes. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.